By the way, I can't stop listening to that Billie Eilish song. It's such a banger. It's so good.
Well, yeah, I've been listening to Billie Eilish like all week.
William Eyelash. Did you watch that YouTube video with Dwight?
No.
I still think we need to reach out to her.
I do stand by that you saying let's get her on, you guys saying let's get her on the show is the funniest thing any of us have ever said.
Let's get her on the show.
Let's get her on the show. Yeah. Let's go for it.
Can't be hard. Can't be that hard. Let's just try and pitch it to her like it could be good for her reputation.
This is good for your brand.
Yeah, this is good for her brand. This helps her reach some more.
Let's ask her if she likes making dreams come true.
A bigger audience, yeah.
Do I need to talk to a mic? Am I at that
stage? There you go.
Okay.
Oh, hey, Edwin's here.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim and Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office, by fans of The Office. I'm your host and dental hygienist, Sean Roney.
I'm Edwin James, and I'm your meemaw.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
So I will see you up there in Viagra Falls.
You know what we do. We talk about our favorite show, The Office, a different theme every week. And this week's theme, we're just going to talk about the Niagara episode, parts 1 and 2. This is our first episode just profiling one episode, right? We haven't done this before.
A two-part episode.
Two-part episode, season 6, episodes 4 and 5. It aired on October 8th, 2009. It was written by Greg Daniels and Mindy Kaling and directed by Paul Feig. And it was viewed by 9.42 million people. This is a very important episode in the Office.
Yeah, I think just in general, while looking at, trying to think about individual episodes or arcs or moments or stories, this kind of stood out to me in that, you know, it's kind of a very important moment in the Jim and Pam arc or dynamic or relationship. Mm-hmm. And I actually kind of think, and you guys can let me know what you guys think, but I feel like The Office, it's like before the wedding and after the wedding. I really think about The Office in those kinds of terms sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh. That's funny.
When I think about like the beginning or the first part of the front half of The Office and the end of The Office, I definitely think the wedding is kind of a turning point.
Hmm. It all the way in season 6.
It's kind of arbitrary, but like I personally think of it that way.
Hmm. Well, it is a nice little, it's not a wrap up to all of Jim and Pam's tension by any means, but it certainly is a large
and I think that, more generally, like this is it's a really unique sort of moment, and we haven't talked about this episode at all in our previous 14 episodes. Not that, you know, because we haven't talked about something is a reason to talk about something, but it is interesting that this particular moment hasn't come up that much as we talk about character arcs and character development, et cetera.
There's something about this episode that I tend to just kind of skip over it in my mind. Mm-hmm. I don't really, I don't know. It just seems, you know, we'll talk about it more, but, you know, the wedding itself bothers me a lot.
I had a feeling we were getting there.
I do too.
We'll get there. We'll get there soon.
As a quick question, right? I think when you subscribe or follow other Office fan groups online, there is this notion that people will skip certain episodes.
Okay.
Do you guys skip episodes when you rewatch the show?
No, but I'm not really intentional. I'm not like, I start somewhere, I hit play, and I let it go. I rarely will be like, skip this episode.
I don't think that I ever say skip this episode until I get to later seasons, maybe I do.
I do start at certain points in a season. Like, I will, like, I'm jumping in here, but then I generally will finish out the season.
I don't necessarily mean this to be a big discussion question, but I think there seems to be some sort of consensus that I think a lot of people, when they rewatch the show, they start at the beginning, they go to the end, and they skip Scott's Tots.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
an episode that people will skip. But I think it sounds like the three of us, we jump around a lot. I personally just jump around wherever.
I'm all over.
And I would never skip Scott's Tots. I absolutely love that episode.
I
it's so uncomfortable that I love it.
Well, this will come up later, I'm sure. Yeah. But I feel like this episode, to bring it back to Scott's Tots, I think has maybe the second most cringiest moment in Michael Scott moment in all of the show.
Yeah,
outside of Scott's Tots.
I know what you're talking about.
Let's dive into the episode.
All right, well, let's... By the way,
can I just say,
yeah,
I'm a little ashamed to admit it, but this is like later in the show than I initially thought. When I went in to rewatch it, I was like, oh, that's like end of season four, beginning of season five, and I was looking through episodes.
Which is crazy, because that's the exact same thing that I would say, but it's like Pam and Jim don't even get together until the first episode of
season four.
I know. And then, so I was just sort of just like, oh, yeah, this is like season six.
Well, maybe it just that they move fast after that.
Yeah.
And that's why we think that. But this episode, the cold open is Pam and Jim asking the office to be courteous to her. She's pregnant. She has a sensitive nose. Please, Phyllis's perfume is a bit perfumey.
Her soap is a bit perfumey.
Oh, she makes pretty passive, like. She's clearly talking to Phyllis and Dwight, I think.
It's a little bit, yeah. I think it could have been said in an email instead of publicly.
Not a good move for them.
Yeah.
It's just not good.
They don't look very good in that moment, I will say. And everyone gets mad at them. Dwight says that he will keep peeling hard-boiled eggs at his desk. Meredith says she will have her afternoon cigars.
I love Meredith, man. She grows on me.
That's a line from earlier in the series where Meredith is like, I got a bag of cigars in my purse.
Yeah, and later we see her smoking one.
Yeah.
It's a great cold open. Of course, we get the beautiful chain reaction.
The chain reaction of people puking. I was rewatching this episode before coming here tonight, sat down with my sandwich, opened it up, and started this episode. So it was a little difficult to get through that cold open while eating. Although I did not stop eating like Creed Bratton in that scene, who was eating ramen the whole time.
Shouldn't have gone with the egg salad.
Something stinkier.
Yeah, could you have picked something stinkier?
I do love that Creed is eating ramen noodles while during that cold open.
Scarfing them down and wide-eyed watching everything that's happening.
That was a moment, and again, like I rewatched this episode as well, preparation for today, but that was a moment that I laughed at, and you know, the joy of watching this show and like enjoying this show is that I always find little things to laugh at that maybe I had missed or forgotten about, and that was something that I definitely forgot.
Or never focused on before.
Right.
That takes us into you know what this episode is all about.
By the way, do you agree with them? Do you like if Pam and Jim stood up? How would you feel about that?
I mean,
Dwight makes a good point.
I'm very like aware of smells in the office, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't peel an egg at my desk.
I would never eat an egg based dish.
Well, I do because I work at home, but.
You know, I would kind of be like, yeah, please.
No quiche. <That's, laughs>
yeah.
I think the food ask is very reasonable. I think the soap ask is not reasonable. I think a hard boiled egg you can very easily eat in a break room or a conference room. That is 100% reasonable.
Yes. It is.
And to peel, if you're going to peel a hard boiled egg, you can totally do that in the kitchen. 100%. You don't have to do that at your desk.
So gross.
Ask someone to use a different soap is a little bit weird.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. In my office, somebody recently microwaved a fish dish.
No.
And people walked around and they were like disrespectful.
Yeah.
Disrespectful. People were so upset.
Oh yeah.
It really was a topic of conversation.
Like I'd even say like you can eat, like people, you know, order whatever for lunch, but sometimes like if you just throw that away in your desk trash.
You got to throw it away in the kitchen.
Dude, you got to throw it away in the kitchen or outside even.
Let's get back to the episode.
Sorry.
not that this isn't really important.
These are office topics. Yeah, exactly.
Let's stay on track. Yeah.
All right. So Jim and Pam are breaking down what is allowed and what is not allowed at their wedding to everyone in the conference room.
I wrote this down. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
So the context is Jim says, you know, Kevin, actually firecrackers are on the don't list for this.
Yeah.
And Kevin says, okay, so you'll be providing them? and they said, no, it's actually a firecracker-free wedding. And Jim and, Kevin and Dwight are both like, come on, you're killing me, right? So the do's on the whiteboard are do.
Cross off a trivia question here.
I knew you were just going to say that.
By the way, we're doing trivia at the end of this episode. This is the first time where it's like, I'm doing trivia on this episode. Yeah. Watch it ahead of time. So it's going to be real hard.
Okay. All right.
In the do's column, have a good time. Dance, underlined, when it's appropriate. Eat dinner.
That's a great one.
On the don'ts column, don't make a big scene. Cry. Talk to our family.
Very busy.
Very busy. And then the last one is, I wrote down as firecrackers per Kevin. Yeah.
I love that very busy because someone probably was like, don't talk to the family. And they're like, why not? And
they are
very busy.
Very busy.
Good stuff.
They leave the room, Jim and Pam, to go off, I guess, right then and there. And so we get a moment with Michael and the rest of the office. Andy shows Michael up and makes the what happens in Niagara Falls stays in Niagara Falls, and that pisses Michael off big time. But Dwight says that's an easy joke. You can say that about anything.
Yeah.
What happens in accounting stays in accounting.
They're all like, oh.
Yeah. Don't take my joke. It's so easy. That's what I'm saying.
Angela gives a very nice little smirk when Dwight says that.
Because
she normally like is not having any of what's going on.
Not only is it Dwight being funny and making everyone laugh, he mentioned accounting.
There you go.
So Michael gets pissed and then says, like, I can't remember what he says, but then he ends it with what happens in Viagra Falls.
Yeah, he says, I will see you all in Viagra
Falls. So I will see you up there in Viagra Falls.
There you go.
But that's right after he's like, so help me God, if anyone.
Yeah, he really takes it.
This is the most important wedding for this branch until my wedding.
Yeah, right.
Which again, I think leads us into this entire episode is like the stakes that Michael puts on it for himself are high.
Right.
It's hilarious.
Because that takes us to the other thing that he is really worried about. He's not really worried about, representing Dunder Mifflin at this wedding. He's really worried about meeting women.
There's a really great little moment where Erin is on the phone and she says, thank you for your call.
Sweet moment.
Today and Friday, Dunder Mifflin will be out of the office for the Halpert Beasley wedding or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I think just generally speaking, to go to the sort of storyline, character development sort of aspects of this office, I think, or of this episode, I think what we see here is it's not a bottle episode per se, but it is a new environment where all the characters get to be themselves. Hmm. And when you have a show like this, where you put all the characters in this new environment and they get to be themselves, it creates new and kind of funny situations, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of, and I don't mean to jump ahead of your summary, but like Erin and Kelly in the back of the car while Andy is driving and like Kevin in the hotel, like all of these little moments and vignettes and scenes are the characters being themselves, but they're being themselves in a new context.
Right.
And that leads to kind of funny moments.
There's so many good moments with a lot of the, kind of the ensemble characters.
Yeah.
One of the points that Pam makes before they leave is that no one knows that she's pregnant.
Right.
Or at least one person in particular, her meemaw.
Right.
So don't mention anything about that at the wedding, she says, just to set us up for what happens later.
Chekhov's secret. Yeah. There's a great moment where Jim and Pam are talking to Jim's parents and Jim's dad.
Which one is Pam's grandma?
Correct. And then Michael just butts in.
Right.
And he says, yeah, she doesn't know, so mom's the word.
Not caught on the closed captioning. It still says mom's the word.
Oh, really? I think it says mom's the word.
No, you're right. I just think the joke even got past that.
And then, I don't remember what Jim says, but Michael says, that's really going to impair my ability to hook up with your female relatives.
He says he's not invited to the rehearsal dinner.
All right, but they're like, Michael, I thought we discussed that you wouldn't be speaking at all.
Yeah.
Because Michael's who's giving a toast? Because I would like to go third, kind of back cleanup.
Yeah, right.
Like, Michael, we kind of discussed that you wouldn't speak at all. And he's like, that's really going to hurt my chances of hooking up with your female relatives.
Right in front of his...
Of his parents and his wife, yeah.
Which kind of lays the groundwork for later on when they do the christening, when they get the baby christened at the church.
Yeah.
And at that point, Pam's like, Michael, no, I need to hear you say it. Like, you are not going to speak or something like that.
I mean, this
that.
Is...
I need to hear you say that you know you're not the godfather.
You know you're not the godfather.
He's like, I'm not the godfather. Move over or I'll shoot you in the head. Correct. Yes.
I mean, of course, we know that Michael loves to mess up a good wedding because he did it at Phyllis's wedding. He made an incredible cringeworthy speech and just made an ass of himself at every turn. So
any public ceremony that he's at is open ball game.
Pam and Jim actually should have been harder on him from the start
and
setting restrictions, but they really kind of. Put some faith
there's a bull in
him.
The China shop. Yeah.
Well, there are moments where Michael kind of speaks out against what they've been trying to do, trying to put him in a corner, you know, where Michael says, you know, he's like, that should be me. I should be at the head table. He's
the
like, head table.
Table
where I should be.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, shouldn't be Pete and Tom. It should be me and Tom. Him and Pete. He goes, I would kill with the brother stuff.
Yeah.
They have great material, but they're delivering it all.
Yeah,
they're
going to deliver it terribly.
So I love that he respects the material, but he's just like, he just hates it. By the way, Pete and Tom really come across real bad.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, this is another episode where we get to see a little bit from Pete and Tom, Jim's brothers. Who we only really see in the other episode is in when Pam is in art school and they play a prank on Jim and Pam,
It's not even a real prank.
Right. They just kind of make fun of Pam for being an artist, right? But you do get to see a little bit of Jim's brothers like making funny faces at the camera. And we get to hear them joke later on in the episode.
Yeah. Speaking of the brothers too, Jim has a sister who is at this wedding.
Yeah, Pete and Tom mentioned to Michael.
They're looking for a whoopee cushion.
They say, hey, are you Michael Scott? I heard you might have a whoopee cushion. Our sister's in the bathroom. We're trying to prank her when she gets back.
Yeah. Still don't meet her.
He just pulls one out of his breast pocket. It's so funny.
Scott
got one. Yeah, he's like, he's kind of honored about it.
Oh, gosh.
That was a big takeaway for me watching this was both, it seems like the families, it's kind of all a mess. Like, the whole everything that's going on, it's not great. Not great.
Yeah.
Not that it really matters that much to the show, but for the sake of this episode, the family drama is a big plot line.
Well, and let's turn then to Pam's family drama, which is really the spectacle of the episode. Or at least going back and rewatching this episode and especially talking about Michael's love life recently and talking about Helene. I realized more how well they set up why Helene hooks up with Michael.
Correct.
Because it's very small. Like those moments are very small, but we see Helene Pam's dad introduces Pam and Jim to his new girlfriend.
And Jim says, "Is this your niece?"
Right.
And he kind of laughs and he's like, no, this is my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Her name is like Christine or something like that.
And we just zoom in on Helene in the background.
Yeah, making eyes.
Scowling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Later when Pam is trying on her dress, Helene is just visibly angry and is complaining about people with blonde hair extensions, which is, I guess, probably talking about... her ex-husband's new girlfriend.
Yeah, of course.
And Helene's even asking Pam, are you sure? Is he the one? She's like, she's clearly having a tough time.
Oh, yeah, does he deserve you?
Yeah.
And Pam says, yes, he does.
Yeah, and then Penny, who is Pam's sister.
Right, introduced to Pam's sister.
You're totally projecting, Mom. Yeah. Stop being such a drag.
And then they talk.
Not very nice.
And they talk in the church pews.
Then they talk in the church pews. Hey, Michael asks
for a snack.
Right. It's funny to think that Michael is a younger man in this situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He comes
Apricot
along.
Apricot made from real apes.
He's just kind of funny and sweet in a stupid way.
When it works, when he's like not caring that much, you see it for a second when he's at the bar talking to that girl. And he's like saying how he bawled through up. And all the
Wally,
pictures, you can't watch him.
Yeah.
And she seems to be like into it. And
then Dwight runs in and says, Michael, forget about this one.
Michael's got a sweet, sensitive beefcake.
Before we move on, two quick things that I wanted to just touch on because they're great moments. On the way to the wedding, we get Michael waking up while he's driving.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic moment.
With the sunglasses
on. Those are super dark. Those glasses are so dark.
Dwight is so concerned.
That might be one of the funniest in-car scenes on the whole show because that happens and then immediately followed by the CD.
Oh, yes.
That Dwight makes for Michael. And I just... There was no other way I was going to play this, but we just need to listen to. This is what Dwight puts on the CD for Michael to play when he gets a girl in his room.
Hello, my name is Dwight Schrute. If you are listening to this, you are a lucky woman Michael has seduced. Ah, to be in your shoes. What's next, you're probably wondering. Don't be scared of your night in heaven.
Oh my God.
So creepy.
Oh God.
Anyway.
And to think... that he is such a player, as we learn later in this episode.
Yeah, again, to kind of go back to this theme, I think Jim and Pam's wedding is sort of the central hub, and all of these characters attack it sort of from different angles because of where they are in their lives, right? And we see that. And I think this is a really good Dwight and Michael episode. There are so many good Dwight and Michael moments in this episode, and that is just kind of one of the leading moments that lead up to everything that happens at the wedding.
Another great Dwight and Michael scene is when they are checking into the hotel, and Michael realizes that he doesn't have a room. And... let's see. Dwight says that he can share the room with him. And Michael is saying something that annoys Dwight. And Dwight all of a sudden...
So what he does is Michael comes up and he says, I don't have a reservation, but I'd like to block a room, or I'd like to reserve a room in the Beasley Halpert block of rooms. Mm-hmm. And the woman at the check-in desk is like, oh, we don't actually have any more rooms. That's more about the rate than it is about having rooms. And Dwight says, I have a room, reservation. It's like Romeo Tango G77.
Yeah.
And then he's like, was that another one?
Yeah.
Did I get it right?
That was one of the hard ones. You nailed it.
Damn. He's like, and I talked. 100%. And he's like, and I talked to Julie about getting a room with two safes, right?
Which they never, I love that. It's a great character moment.
And then.
What's he putting in those safes?
Michael says to Dwight, like, Dwight, I need to stay with you. And Dwight says, like, no, I don't think you can. And Michael says, oh, I would do this for you. And so Dwight says, oh, no, my preservation, this is under an M. Scott. Michael's like, oh, thank God, this is mine. And Dwight says, now that I don't have a room, can I stay with you? And Michael says, no. And here's the thing. If I bring a woman back and she comes back and she sees you brushing your teeth with butter and clay... What is she going
butter
to say?
And clay.
That's a line that always makes me
butter
laugh.
And clay.
She sees you brushing your teeth with butter and clay.
And then, when Dwight calls him out on it, and they, you know, he does it, and then Michael does it like,
"William Budden Warlock test.
I didn't pass your dungeon test."
And then it cuts to a talking head of Michael where he says, like, "When Mary didn't get a room at the inn, Jesus was born. When Michael didn't get a room at the inn, we don't know yet."
Oh gosh. Let's see. I mean,
should we go to the rehearsal dinner?
Should we go? Let's go to the rehearsal dinner, which leads me to the thing that I really want to talk about, because I think that the rehearsal dinner pretty much starts with Meemaw telling Pam, that she was not sure about her side of the family because of her mother's divorce, her parents' divorce, but she thinks that Jim and Pam are just perfect. Well, nobody's perfect, Meemaw. If I thought...
Nobody's perfect.
Yeah,
right. As Pam says to Dwight later on in season 9.
Well, if I thought that, I wouldn't care to live, is what Meemaw says. Is this the worst character in the entire series of The Office?
I don't know.
I mean, who
She's pretty bad.
Meemaw is played by Peggy Stewart, who is a great actress who's... came up in Western B movies and TV shows. And she just does a fantastic job of playing the
She's quite unlikable. Someone,
so unlikable.
I mean,
what?
Is she worse than Todd Packer?
Yes.
Okay.
Todd Packer is at least kind of funny. Has some charisma.
She's just very, like, very uptight.
I don't...
Meemaw.
Yeah, and not nice.
I guess, and I'm thinking of character versus, like, horrible person. Like, I don't know. I mean, this is probably a little getting too much into Meemaw. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, with the whole the baby I mean,
she's
later.
She's an older character. Like, yeah. She's got these...
Yeah.
You know, I think...
They need her for this entire episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, for the whole deal of, like, don't spill the secret.
Of course.
That comes out at this rehearsal dinner.
Yeah, it is. But my thing is, like, I would... if. I'm not sure that if this person was in my family, people would tiptoe around them. Mm. You know okay. what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, Meemaw can come to the wedding if she wants.
They give her a lot of sway. They yeah. give her a lot of sway, for sure.
Yeah. Like, for sure. you know.
And if I mean, she gets upset, you just give, her, negative, you just give her the bum's rush.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, when... and when she finds out and decides that she's not going to... come to the wedding the next day, why would anyone be upset at that point? She's only said mean things the whole time she's been
yeah there. But like, it's a grandmother figure, it's a, you know, you respect, you know, that part
yeah,
of the family,
the elder
yeah, of
yeah.
course. I mean of course
I do think it's funny that it's Jim, and I think and the reason that I say that is because while Jim is kind of built
who
up
who spills the beans, you mean,
correct. Jim is the one who is giving this very touching speech about waiting and his relationship with Pam and the way that he had to kind of wait and flirt with Pam. Mm-hmm. You know, he says, I was just a guy who had a crush on a girl that I worked with. And then eventually he ends up kind of accidentally spilling the beans that Pam is pregnant, right?
Right.
But
there's a subreddit called Yes, 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 No. This would fit in that subreddit.
That's perfect, well. Yeah. And I think what we get is, so I think... we haven't talked about Jim a lot on the show in terms yeah. of character development, but we absolutely will and dive into Jim's character a little bit more. But I think something that we do absolutely see is in the earlier seasons, Jim is very much built up as this cool guy. He kind of is very successful and very smart. That's why David Wallace sees him and promotes him, right? Mm-hmm. But in like season 6, 7, 8, 9, we get a lot of moments where Jim is kind of knocked back down a peg. Especially after he becomes co-manager.
Yeah.
And this is a moment where Jim kind of sticks his foot in his own mouth, you know, and where he doesn't really do so well.
Right.
And where he does kind of make a mistake.
Well,
I can't believe it was me. I yeah. know I can't believe it was you either. I actually think it takes a lot of pressure off of me.
I was going to talk about this.
About being a manager that makes you say stupid things?
I have not found that to be the case.
I was going to mention that exact moment.
Yeah. That was just, it's fun because when Jim is the co-manager, it's just,
yeah,
it's
Jim has recently been made co-manager. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I always thought that quote was, he's like, I always thought he was saying that to Michael. Like, why are you saying stupid things? And he's like, oh man, I'm like, you know. And
yeah. Oh,
which is, it happens again too later when Michael's like, you'll get there. Like, there's a few like Michael pats Jim on the back moments. And this
that
kind of,
that kind of speaks to this episode being a bottle, like feeling like a bottle episode too. It does. We've kind of been pulled out of all the things that are going on with Dunder Mifflin. I forget
yeah.
that he's a co-manager during this
that's
time.
That's a really good point. Cause that's a really great dynamic about this whole episode. And again, I talked about characters being pulled into this new context, mm-hmm. but like they don't talk about work at all.
No.
Yeah. And I think the
Except
episode is better.
Dwight in front of the kids.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
talking about the
the bad
how
man.
Much his sales went up.
Kissing and, yeah. the boss man's butt.
But, ew.
Right.
It yeah. is you. Very
it's very ew.
Ew.
Yeah. Also, at this rehearsal dinner, we get to spend some time with Oscar and Kevin.
Oh, yeah. Beforehand, when Pam is introducing her sister to Oscar
right,
and Kevin.
Right. Kevin is wearing the toupee at this point. Maybe.
No, he breaks that out at the service.
Yeah.
So did he go to the rehearsal dinner without it and then wear it to the service?
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
Oh, okay.
Weird play. Also yeah, the Kleenex shoes, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Well, there's this moment when Penny, Pam's sister, mistakes Kevin for Gil, which is a... I watching it again, I was like, this is kind of... I don't know if this is a very well-written setup for this joke.
Why do you say that?
Pam's sister knows who knows a the name of Oscar's. I don't know. It just it seems weird that she wouldn't just be like, "Hi, Kevin. Nice to meet you."
That's fair. I think it makes sense that Pam would have mentioned. I think it's the kind of thing that maybe you had heard a long time ago,
yeah,
and you had held on to, right? Because you don't tell people about your coworkers all the time, but like maybe you tell your family about your coworkers once, and they remember the certain thing, you know?
Yeah.
So it felt like the kind of thing that maybe she can remember, but it is a little weird that she is like, "Oh, I thought it was Gil and not Kevin."
Right. Well, like, what if Oscar and Gil broke up and now she's
but it sets up the moment for Oscar to be like, "You think I was dating this?"
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
Really harsh. Like, yeah. Super harsh in front of Kevin.
And Kevin is like, "Oscar, I would be honored to date you."
It reminds me of the time when a client thinks that Andy and Pam are together when she's still when she's very pregnant.
Right.
Oh no.
Which
no,
they play
no,
to their advantage.
No,
don't they on the sales call or something? No? Is that am I thinking what? Of a different time?
That's when they're on a sales call.
So yeah, Pam first like laughs off. She's like, No, we're not together, right? And then Andy comes back as like to get her back and he's way meaner.
That's right.
He says like Pam is our surrogate. I only date models. Face models.
Face models.
So the thing about the rehearsal dinner to just kind of keep us moving forward.
Yeah.
The moment when Michael interjects and he brings up the sex stuff. To me, I think that's to me right under Scott's tots for just like one of the cringiest moments in the show.
Michael is talking about like
they're living together. They're having a lot of consensual sex. And you have to acknowledge that the sensation is different.
Yeah, not for the woman necessarily, but for the man.
Good Lord.
When you wear something that blocks,
I think we all know
what I'm talking about.
Like he gets that far talking. It's awful.
And then too, so Michael goes to speak with Meemaw. He shows up at her room, and Meemaw says, "Oh yes, you're that foul man who kept talking about intercourse."
By the way, going back and rewatching that scene, like, I was watching it and knowing that he's going to convince her to stay for the wedding the next day, right? And I'm just like, at what point does he successfully convince her? And it seems like the only moment is when he says, "You know they're going to name the baby after you, Meemaw." And she says, "Sylvia." And he says, "Yes. And if it is a boy, they will name it Silvio."
That's one of like the funnier little, more like well-written lines in the whole show.
Well, she cracks a smile, and then she's at the wedding the next day. So,
and if it's a boy, Silvio.
So, post-rehearsal dinner, everyone goes out to the hotel bar and is drinking. There's also a party that's happening upstairs in somebody's hotel room.
Andy's.
It's Andy's hotel room?
Yes.
Okay. He's supposed to have the bridal suite.
Well, yeah.
I know.
That didn't look like a bridal suite.
Great moment when he says that.
Breaking the bed.
Yeah. I got the room before you guys.
Jim is like, "I don't like that." And Pam says, I will need to talk to the housekeeper who's in charge of changing the sheets.
I'll need the name and cell phone number for the housekeeper in charge of changing the sheets.
So, yeah, Andy is telling Oscar and Kevin that he's got a party up in his room. And they're like, "Oh, that's great. Like, do we need to bring anything?" And he says, "Yeah, $40 for beer and then any hot chicks you know, because that will help me deliver on a couple promises." $40 for beer.
No way, Jose!
$40 for beer.
Crazy.
Downstairs, Michael and Dwight are talking to women, trying to meet women. Dwight meets Isabel, who is impressed.
I wanted to call out that there is a fun dynamic in the first episode where Dwight has taken all of the guests, the female guests on the guest list, and has looked them up on Google.
Right.
And he, you know, he's trying to give Michael some details on the first one. He's like, Jocelyn Webster, Pam's cousin.
Tell me about Jocelyn.
My trivia is just getting slaughtered.
She was selling
right now
a mountain bike a couple years ago. And then it's like, what else do you know about her? Well, she made a couple hundred dollars. If it was
she's bigot, she's really into mountain biking, but not so much lately.
Yeah. He's like, if in fact it was her, it was a very common name. And then later he's like, Isabel Pariba. And he's like, yes, I know a lot about her. Her 10th grade volleyball team went 10-2 in 1996.
How am I going to bring that up?
It was a state record.
He wears the wolf shirt because
howling at the moon.
Yeah, Dwight, why are you wearing that? It looks like you're going to a fish fry.
Yeah.
Arr! Arr! That's one of those moments where Dwight and Michael have like that kind of key moment. Another moment is in later when they do Prince Family Paper.
Yeah.
When they do the shark noise. Ba-dum. Ba-dum, ba-dum.
Yep.
Yeah.
But he's hitting it off with her. Of course, there's this twins moment with Michael and Dwight. Anything else down in the bar?
Yeah, so of course, Dwight and Isabel kind of hit it off. Dwight pulls Michael away from his conversation with a woman to go look at a set of twins, which is just two men in a suit drinking beers.
I love a good set of twins.
Aren't they magnificent?
And then, they're men, Dwight.
And then, of course, when Andy tears his scrotum at the party, he goes to see Pam and he says, you need to take me to the hospital. And she calls down to Jim. And Jim is in the hotel bar with Michael
right,
and Dwight.
Right,
so yeah.
It just happened.
Right.
Also, let's talk about the car keys in the pocket.
I was going to say, that's a great scene. It's a great scene.
It's a great scene.
Okay.
Where, the mechanics of him doing it, I don't get, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't know about the car keys thing, but like, I get that if you've never done the splits before and you try to drop into a splits, like that can cause a lot of issues.
Yeah, could be really bad.
It's not good.
I do love that, you know, you get all the characters dancing together in a hotel room, mm-hmm. and I love that Andy is like, you call that a robot? Let me show you something that's a little more robotic, right?
Yeah.
And then I love Aaron. Aaron is like, what else you got?
Yeah, right? And he's screaming on the
phone. Then when he like does the splits and is screaming, Aaron leans in and goes, what else you got? Yeah.
That was a moment I noticed for the first time rewatching it. I'd never picked that up before. Yeah. It was great.
Talk about Aaron really not cluing into what's going on with Andy. Especially when they're driving with Kelly.
Andy's never made it easy.
No. But he's like, you guys can move up front and Mindy Kaling says, no, it's cool. It feels like we're being driven by a limo driver. And he's like, Aaron. And she's like, oh, it wouldn't be fair to Kelly. Mm-hmm. So she's particularly oblivious.
But I do think that takes us to the end of part one, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And before we go into part two, I thought like part one is it's a strong episode on its own.
Yeah.
Episode two has to basically tie a lot of the loose ends from one, which is no surprise, but I thought one was stronger than two.
If you watch part two on Netflix, you get to rewatch the last 5 minutes of part one, which is kind of a little silly. Did they air together on the same night?
I'm not sure off the top of my head, but
I think they did.
Yeah, I think they did. October 8th, so that's why.
Yeah.
I was like, that's weird. I wonder if that's how they really aired it. In the middle of the night, Pam takes Andy to the hospital. Andy complains the whole time.
Bump is a pain on my damaged scrotum.
He says he was doing what she was supposed to be doing. Which is livening up the party. She drives over a speed bump or a pothole. She just
swerves.
Yeah.
That line where Andy says, making sure that everyone has a good time at your crappy wedding, that I think is the worst Andy moment in the whole show.
It's really mean. It's bad. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, he just tore his scrotum.
But he's just completely bloody. Like, you would not ask Pam out of anybody.
The bride.
I mean, you wouldn't book the bridal suite for the wedding you're going to either, I hope.
I'm sure there's a shuttle at that hotel, you know? Yeah. Like, come on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. That's so funny. So anyway, Andy gets to spend the night with the bride. night before the wedding.
And did I dream you were crying?
Nope, that was real.
We do get a lot of funny, like, images of Andy icing his balls, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
In that orange sweater vest.
Mm-hmm. Aaron brings him a little pillow.
A lot of ice in general in this whole arc. We get Michael
true.
Sleeping near the
Michael
ice
has to sleep near
Kevin
the,
with
yeah.
his hot dogs are
mm-hmm. barking. My dogs,
dogs
are barking.
Yeah.
Where does Michael sleep? He sleeps by the ice machine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's ironing his pants in there in the morning. And some
it was loud, but
in.
It was warm. That helps him bond with Helene, actually, when he tells that. Talks to her the next day at the wedding.
Oh, you poor man. Yeah. Somebody comes in to get ice, and Michael turns around and he goes, take a picture, it will last longer.
Completely unreasonable.
Meanwhile, Dwight's been busy...
with Isabel.
With Isabel. He's ravenous after a night of lovemaking.
That's one of my favorite moments.
It's so good.
Michael finally gets in, and he says, I haven't used the bathroom in a day and a half. And he says, oh my God, Dwight, this room is a pit. Yeah. And Dwight says, didn't notice. Too busy knocking boots.
Yeah, and then
and he tells Isabel he's not hungry. He had sunflower seeds. And yeah. then
while she was asleep.
Yeah.
And then the next scene,
the
just
image,
housing
the
pancakes.
Image of Dwight... like sitting up in bed while Isabel is asleep eating sunflower seeds by himself.
Yeah.
Not like, a filling snack.
That's the funniest.
I never caught, though, that he's lying to her about eating breakfast.
That's one of the funniest moments. Like, it's just such a funny image where, like, he's got a glass that he's spitting the seeds into while he's just sitting up in bed asleep.
Like watching her or
something? Yeah. Just spitting sunflower seeds into a cup or something.
Oh, gosh.
But yeah, I'm ravenous after a night of lovemaking, he says,
what?
While he's eating yeah. this gigantic breakfast.
Yeah, just yeah. scarfing it down, not chewing even.
Right.
Michael is so shocked that Dwight isn't interested in Isabel, and he's like, oh, you should ask her out. He says, I already have a European girlfriend.
Right. Because Dwight's like, bride side or groom side? Or townie?
I love that.
And Michael says, she's European. And Dwight says, ooh, hairy armpits.
I never caught that. That's so good.
Dwight really comes in with a heat of like, she's a dental hygienist from Carbondale.
And she makes love like one.
She's a bumpkin. Pass.
Oh my God.
Jeez, yeah. Dwight. Terrible. You're not really a catch either, buddy.
But no. You know what, though? Like, this is a moment, again, where in the earlier seasons, we see Dwight is very subservient to Michael. I'm trying to think of a better word, but he's kind of pathetic.
Yeah.
You know? Like, we see Dwight as like...
He's a brown noser. He's a
yeah, sucker. He's very much... Yeah, but like, in the later seasons, you see Dwight assert himself and kind of... It's like, no, Dwight is someone kind of to be reckoned with, right? The ultimate example of this is in Stairmageddon.
Oh.
Where he tranquilizes Stanley with the blow darts. Because Stanley says, you know, Dwight, for a threat to be credible. And he hits him with a couple of these bull tranquilizers right in the chest.
Yeah.
But this is a moment where you see Dwight, like, not like... Dwight, you know, you think, oh, he's wearing this wolf shirt that's tucked into his pants or whatever. Like, who is this silly guy? But, like, Dwight, you know, like, he meets someone and... And he's very much like a ladies' man in this moment.
Yeah,
because he's real. Like, he's right. just super real.
Well, we see his confidence so often.
That's what I'm speaking to.
You know,
confidence yeah.
the liquor of the fool and
the food of the wise man, but the liquor of the fool.
Yeah,
I'm gonna enjoy getting to know you, Vikram.
but we see it almost. It's his confidence that. Isabel seems most attracted to that and being
that
on a farm
the
and caring
yeah.
about
yeah.
his horses.
Yeah.
Which, of course, he reveals that he's created a machine that takes part of the horse. And you can get 6 regular-sized hamburgers or 12 sliders
right,
from
Isabel,
a living horse.
Isabel says, how many horses do you have? And he says, 9 3/4. And then it cuts to him talking about this.
Sear said no.
Yeah. There's also another moment where he talks, where Michael and Dwight, this is earlier in the series, I think, where they talk about inventions, and Michael goes, horse boat. He's like, you can take your horse across the water. Where all of Michael's ideas for inventions are toilet-based,
right.
Dwight seemed to be very horse-based.
That's good. That's
a great point. Oh, my gosh.
There's a moment where they all, this is Michael Scott Paper Company, where they're all eating everybody else's lunches.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, ooh, Dwight, I'm going to have some of this meat sandwich. What is this? And Dwight
pony.
Says, it's pony. It's like... a pony sandwich.
Let's see.
Let's talk about the service. Let's jump to the service.
Yeah, we're getting... So Pam is getting ready for the service. We kind of talked about Helene and Penny and Pam getting ready. As Pam's walking out the door, her veil tears. And right away, she calls Jim, who is playing soccer with some random kid in a lawn, enjoying himself. Everything is going great for Jim. He totally ruined... the whole Meemaw situation, then gets to go out and party all night, doesn't have to deal with the Andy thing, you know. But anyways, he gets a call from Pam, goes and meets her in some classroom. I think
it's a room at the church.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like a rectory or something.
Classroom. Yeah. Come meet me. I'm in the second grade.
It does
room.
Look yeah. like a classroom.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But yes.
So. He meets her. He says, "You're so beautiful." She says, "Disgusting," or something like that.
Well, because she's 5 months pregnant at the time.
Right.
So Pam, in this moment, she says, "You know, like I feel, you know, I'm pregnant. This is the one thing I can control, like my veil, my dress, you know."
Yeah.
And Pam kind of reassures her, where he says, "You look so beautiful. Like you look so, you know, pretty." And Pam says, she starts crying. She's like, "I know way too much about Andy Scrotum."
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, this is our wedding. Why do we invite all these people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also grabs a pair of scissors and cuts his tie in half.
Correct.
And she takes a... Oh, and this is a part, too, that I do really enjoy about this episode.
The mental pictures.
That she says that her aunt told her that everything moves so fast. Take mental pictures. And so
of
that's
the
a
high
cute
points.
Of the high points, and that's a really cute thing throughout the episode. I love that.
But that leads to them
rushing off. We don't know where they go.
Correct.
Right?
In the moment, we don't know where they go.
We don't know where they go. So cut to the church. Okay, we got everybody showing up for the wedding. Stanley and
Cynthia
are standing behind Phyllis. Phyllis is wearing a crazy big hat with a big feather. Stanley says something like, if your hat hits me again in the face, I'm going to blah, blah, blah. And she says, "That's funny. Your wife loved this hat the last time I saw her," and looks at Cynthia. What do we think about Stanley bringing his mistress to this wedding instead of his wife? He's brought his wife to several.
Terry?
Terry's been to Dundee's. How come she's not coming to the...
Stanley's a big baller, man. Do whatever. Stanley is as Stanley does.
You see Florida Stanley, you get Niagara Stanley.
Yeah.
Live fast and leave a sexy corpse. That's Stanley.
Not enough Stanley in this episode. He's very light in this episode. We're more focused on Kevin, Oscar.
There is a perfect Stanley moment where Michael says, like, "Stanley, I would like to stay in your room." And he's like, "No, I have a queen bed and I brought Cynthia." Right.
Yeah.
He says, he's like, "Are you sure that's going to work?" And he's like, "A queen bed is 5 foot wide, Michael. Do you think I'm 5 foot wide?" And Michael says, "I'm not a physicist."
We learn that Dwight brought a live turtles and hammers
he bought
and
them,
bibs.
His wedding gift is a turtle boiling pot, shell hammers, and bibs.
Yeah. Michael brought a painting of them. He has another one just for him of them in the nude.
Oh, this is a perfect moment. One thing that I wanted to call out as a season six difference between Jim and Pam and them and the rest of the show. Season six, both of them wear jackets all the time. Earlier in the show, Jim never wears his jacket.
Right.
Yeah. Pam is just wearing straightforward button downs.
Right.
But in season six, when Jim becomes manager, he wears a jacket all the time. Pam wears a jacket over her button down.
Yeah, that's
Jim
right.
is wearing a tie a lot of the time. Pam is not. Mm-hmm. But it does change the way they look through the course of the show. It's a small thing, but it does seem consistent with the fact that their characters are doing different things in the show.
Yeah.
Pam is a saleswoman. Jim is co-manager. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I've never thought about that wardrobe shift.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's exactly right. We got Kevin with his toupee and his
tissue box shoes.
Because that morning, of course, he leaves his shoes out to be shined and doesn't get them back.
Right. Our shoeshine person saw them and was overcome with the smell.
I too smelled the shoes.
And came to the conclusion that they must be removed. Destroyed.
Incinerated, in fact.
Yeah. And that's alluded to earlier in the series. I think it's in the I'm gonna get the episode wrong. I'm gonna say it's like Diwali or an episode where they all take their shoes off. Mm-hmm. And Angela says, "I wish some of us still had our shoes on." And Kevin says, "I'm sorry, it's a medical issue."
No. There's also a moment where Kevin has his sock puppet in the break room, and he's doing some bit, and Oscar says, "Okay, that's enough.
The thing reeks."
Yeah, he's like, "That thing reeks, and I'm trying to eat."
Yeah.
Let's talk about the ceremony.
Happens, let's keep moving. Cause... So Jim and Pam run away, and they're all waiting, right? They're all waiting for a while. Isabel approaches Dwight talking to another woman, and Dwight is like, "Hello, Isabel." You know, he's
so
cold. He's very dismissive.
He's also totally blowing it that other woman.
He's very dismissive of her. And then Michael says, "Oh, hey, like, you looking for a seat, buddy? Where are you sitting?" She's like, "Oh, I'm a bridesmaid.
I'm standing up there."
And Michael's like, "I wish I was a bridesmaid."
when she walks up to Dwight, Dwight is saying to that woman, "That is a very intelligent comment." He's like being, and like the woman's like, just looking at him like, "Who the fuck are you?" Dwight and Jim come running in. They're soaking wet.
Dwight and Jim.
Oh, my God. Jim and Pam come in soaking wet. They are so happy. Then we go into the ceremony, which is intercut with Jim and Pam running off to Maid of the Mist, which is the ferry that you ride up the Niagara Falls.
Tour boat.
You can get married by a sea captain, of course, which we learned on Booze Cruise season 2.
As soon as the ceremony starts, the other people in the wedding, they cut the music and they play Forever by Chris Brown.
Right. And this is referencing a viral video from that, like, maybe the year before.
Like 2008, 2009, yeah.
That, like, some couple...
Michael says to Pam, "Did you see this? It was on YouTube." And Pam is like, "Yeah, I saw it."
Yeah, it's, like, pretty well known at that point. And they do... Everyone dances.
Yeah, they all dance down the aisle. Like, they do their little intros. You know, they play the song Forever by Chris Brown. They all have their own little intros. You know, Andy and Aaron, Andy has a little walker.
Yeah.
You know, and Dwight kicks Isabel in the face. They all have these little character moments together.
Yeah.
Walking down the aisle.
Yeah.
A little confused on the flow because then do they loop back around outside of
right.
the church?
Right. Several characters walk back down the aisle several times.
They all come back and do one thing as one.
Right.
Isabel's fine. I know that's a little getting in the weeds, but come on. Like, what's going on?
I don't mind this moment. I'm curious to hear what you think about this moment, Sean.
I hate this moment with all my heart. I think it's like, it's one thing to be like, "Oh, they like, here's the joke of they, you know, are going to do like replicate this viral video," but then they do the whole thing.
So when I was taking notes on this episode, I wrote this note down
that says,
"This is the kind of thing that Sean would hate."
Yeah, it is.
I love it. It's sweet. It's endearing. The characters are themselves. It's a culmination moment for the show.
And I feel like from a production and storytelling standpoint, it's a good way to wrap up this 2-episode series where it's like, you have this sort of music montage. Let's see all the characters one more time. Everyone take a bow, and this giant wedding is done. It's almost like they had to. Like, I don't know how else they really would have ended it. And it works, but I didn't like it that much either. It's
the other thing that happens throughout it is Jim and Pam making funny facial expressions to each other the whole time.
I was just gonna say that I hate the reaction shots when they cut to, because it's like, it's just like, okay, now you're gonna be like, "What?" And now you're gonna be like, "Oh, Michael," and now you're gonna be like, "Oh, well." It's just like, I can't stand it.
I love all of it.
I almost would have rather the whole ceremony been more cringeworthy and more jokes and then intercut to a very real sweet moment of them on Maid of the Mist, because I think that that is really sweet. I loved that part.
It's a great moment.
I didn't think you also needed everybody in the office dancing and stuff like that, Jim, but I get.
Jim says, you know, I bought those boat tickets the second I saw that video. And he's like, Plan B was the church and Plan A was marrying her a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I think this harkens back to when I think about our conversation. One of our early test recordings is us talking about the episode Cafe Disco.
Right. I was just going to say this is a very Cafe Disco.
I don't think we – and that episode never came out. And maybe we'll talk about it again. But like,
I'd love to.
One of the funny – I remember – like one of my takeaways from that episode is we were talking about weddings or whatever, and like, should Jim and Pam have just eloped? Should they have gone to the ceremony, right? And I remember saying to you, Sean, I think what we've learned is two things. Sean, you want to elope, and what I want is like a big, cheesy, silly wedding. You know? And like, I think we're seeing the exact same thing with this down the aisle ceremony.
Yeah.
With like the Chris Brown song.
Right? Yeah.
And like people dancing down the aisle. It's the cheesiest thing, but
it really is.
I love it. It hits me in the heart.
Yeah. It really is. And, you know, I mean, the people from Jim and Pam's office are not the only people at this wedding.
My takeaway was it's a hijacking. It's like, let's take these two people's day and let's turn the spotlight on us for a minute.
Right.
And, okay, now we're done.
Right.
Like, how does that end? It doesn't end with like Jim and Pam coming together. Like, they're not in on this. So it's like,
no,
I don't know.
But what is more true to Jim and Pam than having something ridiculous that they react to together?
Yeah.
Like, that's the
tie cutting.
It's nice. That is the most Jim and Pam thing that you can possibly do. Give them something really silly. They can be like, are you seeing this?
I can't believe our office is doing this.
And they've kind of given it, like, they've, I mean, we learn, of course, that they've already gotten married. So the stakes are low now. You know, they
give up. Yeah. Like, whatever.
Yeah. Just let it go.
And to end the episode, I mean, the shot of them, well, it's not the end. The end is later. We get the small shot of Michael and Helene. Mm-hmm. Going into the room, but
right. as Kevin dips his feet into the ice maker,
right? The shot of Jim and Pam.
My feet are so sweaty, I don't even feel the cold.
The shot of Jim and Pam is really, really well done. It's very sweet. I mean, in terms of like the location, how they shoot it, it's a little not totally like The Office, but it's such a monumental, like,
in out on the boat.
Yeah, and
yeah,
it's like
it's awesome.
These two characters we've cared about. We've watched their whole relationship grow, and to see it end that way is really well done. I thought that's
I'm great. Really glad you mentioned that, because I think in this sort of post office review, or this post office, now that it's been off the air for 6 years and we've had so much time to like think about the show and watch the show again and again and again, right? Like, Jim takes a lot of hate. Jim and Pam together take a lot of hate. Pam takes a lot of hate. And that's fine. That's, you know, it's part of it. But like, I think
it's what we do on the internet.
It's easy to forget how much we cheered for these characters and rooted for these characters while they were together and while they were struggling to get together.
Mm.
And to see them get married is such a culmination of both of them together. And it's very, you know, we talk about this in terms of storytelling, but it's very earned, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, they get married on their own terms as best they can.
Correct. And they just happen to invite all these people, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And to see them together getting married in a moment where Pam feels really low and Jim picks her up and they have to respond to this ridiculous scenario that's put on them by their family and friends. And like, just to see them get married is such like a, it's such a big moment. And it's really easy to forget that because we're so used to seeing Jim and Pam as this completed arc, this completed mm-hmm. thing, you know, that mm-hmm. it's easy to forget about will they, won't they, because we know what happens in the end.
Yeah.
Right. But that moment in the wedding, on the boat together, is such a monumental moment for the show. Mm-hmm. And it's really nice to go back and kind of relive that.
I mean, well, you think about the great will they, won't they stories of you know, the best comedy sitcoms romance stories in sitcoms. Mm-hmm. Cheers, Sam and Diane never get together.
They get together, kind of. I mean, they don't end up together.
They don't end up together.
Yeah.
Not to spoiler alert, but they don't. And
if you haven't seen the first two seasons of Cheers, go watch it on Netflix.
But you know, I mean, there's other people. I mean,
Moonlighting,
you know, I don't know. I mean, Ted and Robin of How I Met Your Mother. The finale is them getting together. you know, Jim and Pam get together.
What a bummer of a finale that was.
Oh, well, but, sorry. 100%. But, you know, they're committed now. Like, only, you know, with 3.5 seasons to go on the show. I think it's kind of nice to wrap up that will they, won't they, and just kind of move forward with the story.
Yeah, I think they do introduce moments of romantic tension throughout the rest of the show. So you have Kathy coming in season 8.
Yeah.
You have, of course, the athlete sort of thing in season 9, where Jim has to kind of sort of redeem himself with the teapot gesture.
Yeah.
But this does feel like a very natural moment in the show.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It does.
We're not going to worry about them anymore. Now we're going to worry about Michael or...
Yeah, and you know what? Like, we talked about this last week about how season 7 is essentially a very long runway for Michael to exhibit character development and mm-hmm. to exit the show in a way that feels really meaningful and really mm-hmm. earned. But, like, if not for Jim and Pam getting together in season 6, you know, it sort of takes that dynamic off the board. You don't have to worry about it as a fan, and you get to focus on Michael in season 7, right? And for the rest of season 6, you get to worry about...
That's a good point.
Jim as co-manager, Saber coming in, these mm-hmm. other sort of plot dynamics. You know, not that we don't care about Jim and Pam any less, mm-hmm. but we're not actively invested in what's going on with them mm-hmm. while
they get the
these
baby
other
stuff
plot
too.
Dynamics yeah. are playing out. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. Ross and Rachel, another finale. You know, just saying that it's uncommon for it to be done this way, and it works.
Works.
I think it works.
It works.
You know,
they keep Dwight and Angela for the series finale.
I know. Yeah.
It's kind of funny. That's really the last hammer.
That's the real will they, won't they story, which we'll have to talk about another time. I think that wraps up our Niagara episode discussion. I think it's time for some conference room.
All right. You know what? That's it. Conference room. 5 minutes.
Okay, so for this week's conference room segment, I wanted to speak to something that happened today, I believe, or recently this weekend, which is I sent Alex this clip so we can listen to the audio in real time, but it is essentially Scott's Tots in real life.
Oh, no. Okay.
So let's listen to that audio. This is at Morehouse University. It's just a historically black college. Mm-hmm. And this speaker, his name is Robert Smith. I think he is known as he's the founder of Vista Equity Partners, and I believe he is the richest black man in America. And we'll listen to what he has to say.
Okay.
Men of Morehouse, you are surrounded by a community of people who have helped you arrive at this sacred place and on this sacred day. On behalf of the 8 generations of my family who have been in this country.
Hey, Mr. Smith, what you gonna
do? We're gonna put a little fuel in your bus.
What you gonna do to make your dreams come
now,
true?
I've got the alumni over there, and this is a challenge to you, alumni. This is my class, 2019. And my family is making a grant to eliminate their student loans.
In the corner, just that reaction. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So essentially what's happening here is Robert Smith is paying, he's creating a grant to pay off all of the student loans for everyone in the graduating class of 2019.
That is, people are going nuts.
Can you imagine graduating from college debt-free? Like, that's what's happening here. Yeah. Like, it's an amazing thing to do. And it is Scott's Tots in real
MVP
life.
MVP chance.
I know my class will make sure they pay this forward. And I want my class to look at these alumnus, these beautiful Morehouse brothers, and let's make sure every class has the same opportunity going forward.
Wait, is there a downside? Is there a negative
to
this?
There is no negative to this.
Oh, wow.
In case you're wondering.
Oh, I was waiting for
I was waiting for him to be like, and anyways, that's...
Someone's like, that's...
You know, I'd love to do
I'm
that.
I'm sorry if I've set that up to you in any way.
Oh, no, but that's super exciting.
This is real change. This is an amazing thing that's happening in our world today, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's super... That's great. It could be the opposite of Scott's.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I was so nervous. I was like,
I was very nervous.
I was like, when does this go poorly?
I am getting you all...
Laptop batteries. Hold on. They're lithium.
No, this is just a moment for us all to recognize and realize the contribution of Robert Smith. This billionaire who is wonderful. Giving back to the community, creating real change in the world, and like this is Scott's tots actually happening.
$40 million estimated.
I wonder if he got the idea.
Creating real change. Yeah. Shout out to that guy.
Yeah.
So that could help us watch Scott's tots and wash it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh my God.
In the real world, it's better.
What a great story. What a heartwarming story. Bit of news. A bit of good news.
Good news for once.
That's nice. Well, I think with that, it is time for some trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Alrighty. Well, as I mentioned earlier, I told these guys I'd be doing trivia on this episode, and as this episode has gone on, it's just been decimated. It's getting shot left and right. All my questions. Edwin already said the confirmation number for Dwight, which was incredible. That was a backup question. Ugh. To see if I ran out of them. The obvious ones, the name of the Maid of the Mist, the 9 3/4 horses. That's all gone. Dwight mentioned Isabel's last name, Pareba. That's gone.
Yeah.
You mentioned Pam's cousin, Jocelyn Webster. Get it out of there. It's wow. Bad news. And the do's and don'ts.
We did that too.
Those down. That was going to be another hard one to see if you could just do those off
Man,
the top of your head.
I'm excited to see what you've got left.
But here's what we still have. Okay. So we'll start with some easy
Let's
ones.
Let's do it.
Let's do with some easy ones. What's written on Michael's car? Beginning.
Going to a wedding.
Yes, sir.
And what's tied to the car?
Full cans of beer.
Soda cans.
It's a great sight gag.
I love when Pam says, "Are you supposed to tie those to our?"
She looks at Jim and they're just okay. Like, this is exactly what I'm talking about. They're very loose with the restrictions on Michael. They know where they know they need to pick their battles.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The
one of the battles that I chose to pick was Tube City.
Yeah. The full soda cans being dragged over the road.
That's
was very
great
funny.
I was thinking about like I was just you know if they really did tie soda cans to the back of the car or what how they anyways that
especially taking that on the interstate like all right because another question, how long is the drive?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's Andy says it.
5 hours?
Four. Yeah.
He says five-ish.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll say five-ish hours. Who do we see throwing up in the beginning of this? Or
Pam.
Making motions to throw up? Yeah.
Pam is the first.
Yes, Pam.
Angela. Then Andy.
Andy.
Angela.
Angela.
I'm pretty sure...
Phyllis.
Meredith?
Meredith, yep. Two more.
Very good. Andy? We already said that.
You already said Andy. You got
Kevin.
Two more.
Oscar.
No, we don't see Kevin do it. We see Oscar.
Toby.
We see Kevin just touch his stomach. So maybe.
I'm
trying to think of who else is left.
Wait, maybe one of you. Did one of you already say Aaron?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I remember Aaron.
Aaron's goes pretty quick.
I remember Aaron.
Hers
though.
Is the best.
I can see it. Yeah.
No, she goes onto the carpet. Angela goes through the fingers of her hand. Oh, it's disgusting. So okay, so I mentioned that Dwight makes the CD for Michael. What's the picture? What is on the CD?
It's like a lightning storm.
Yes.
It's like and purple. It's purple.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's purple.
A, it's a lightning storm. Very well done. Very well done.
Get prepared for your night in heaven.
Oh, God.
What is the name of the hotel they're at?
The Statler Falls.
Statler Falls.
Really good.
Well done, dude.
I did not have that one. That was great.
It is a brief moment.
Wow, that's so funny because I made sure that I knew that one, and then I just beefed it.
You were so close. So maybe you'll know this one.
Okay.
This is maybe probably the hardest one, but what are the three other events being held that weekend at the Statler Falls Hotel?
Wow, I did not catch that.
I don't know.
I didn't catch that. I
couldn't tell you.
The Moose Lodge meeting.
Where is this?
This is
Niagara Falls.
Where do you see it?
This is very briefly. It's right after Pam says the line. I need the number of the keeper or of the room keeper so I can do the sheets.
Yeah.
And then it's a very quick move. Right after that, you see the blackboard on the wall behind Michael.
Okay, so yeah, what's going on?
So there's the Moose Lodge meeting, there's the Senior Poker Friday, and the O'Brien retirement party. Hmm. who offers to let Michael stay in their room?
Toby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Toby does.
He says, you and I can share a twin bed.
He has an extra twin bed.
And Michael says, you'll be sleeping alone for the rest of your life.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Who is Mr. Beasley dating? What's her name?
Oh, Christy Kelly.
Yes. Yeah. Nailed it. Christy Kelly.
Christy.
And my final question. Actually, what's the room? What package? What's the room they got for the rehearsal dinner?
Oh, the Falls Room.
The Passion Package Room.
Fuck.
Mm. And last one. What's the name of the church they get married at?
I didn't
St. Thomas More.
That's a local humor.
That's where I went to grade school.
It's the Spruce Avenue Presbyterian Church. Which, you only see it when Meredith is smoking her cigar while she's waiting for her.
Oh, that's right. Pam is Presbyterian, and so is Daryl. Same religion.
Are they
high five.
Are they
Isn't
Presbyterian
that it?
Or are they Lutheran? I don't know.
No, they're Presbyterian.
I think it's this was at a Presbyterian church.
Okay.
I don't know. Who knows? But
I don't think Daryl would be Lutheran's a very Scandinavian religion. Maybe we shouldn't go here.
I don't think that's true.
I'm only thinking that because of Prairie Home Companion.
Yeah, it is popular in the Midwest. Yes. No doubt it's in the Midwest, but you know, I guess we're in Niagara Falls. So
anyway, gosh.
Hey, what happens in Niagara stays in Niagara.
That's right. All right, we're all done here.
You guys, that was so much fun. Thank you for trivia and for the conference room, guys. Check us out on social media. You know we're on Facebook. You know we're on Twitter at Michael Scott Pod. You know we're on Instagram at Michael Scott Podcast Company. You know we've got this phone number that you can call, 503-694-9314. Call and leave us a message. So we listen to them. We play them on the show. It's a really good time. We want to hear from you. And if not there, comment on our Facebook page and stuff like that. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
We're going to put a little fuel in your bus.
See you next time.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.